believe it or not. The Baker's Broadcast, brought to you in behalf of the 30,000 bakers of the United States and Canada, with Ozzie Nelson and his orchestra, and, believe it or not, Robert Ripley.
Hello there, this is Ozzie Nelson. We're playing Swing Low, Sweet Harriet, which the boys have written and dedicated to Mrs. Nelson, who is in Hollywood completing a picture. Of course, you'll probably know her better as Harriet Hilliard.
Different countries, he has carried on his endless search for strange facts and strange people. Tonight he brings you another amazing chapter from his collection of the incredible. Believe it or not, Robert Ripley.
Greetings, everybody.
Hello, Bob.
Hello, Ozzy.
Well, Bob, what subject are you going to talk on tonight?
Well, we've talked on so many things, Ozzy, that tonight I've selected something different. I'm going to speak about man's oldest and best friend, the dog. Believe it or not, the only animal that has followed man over the entire face of the earth is the dog and its fleas.
I get it. The dog followed man and the fleas followed the dog.
Everybody loves dogs, Ozzy, and there's many reasons why they should. An excellent example is Barry, the magnificent St. Bernard, the most famous of all dogs.
Who was Barry, Bob?
Barry lived with the St. Bernard monks in their lonely monastery high in the Alps. On 40 different occasions, this grand animal, all alone, struggled through terrific snowstorms and rescued lost travelers. Barry saved 40 lives, but the 41st man he tried to rescue killed him.
Killed him? Why?
The unfortunate traveler was delirious from exhaustion. When Barry plowed his way through the snow to his side, bringing brandy and food, the man thought the dog was trying to attack him and stabbed him. But the people of Switzerland have not forgotten Barry. Today, in the Museum of Bern, is the body of this noble dog, preserved for posterity as a shining example of courage and faith.
There's no doubt, Bob, but the dogs are the royalty of the animal world.
Royalty, I should say so. Not many years ago, a dog was actually made a king in Ethiopia. Clad in royal robes with a crown upon his head, this dog sat on the throne and received the adoration of his subjects. He ruled in true dog fashion. He signified approval by wagging his tail and his disapproval by barking. And a growl condemned a man to prison or death, a real royal dictator. And when King Edward VII died, his little wire-haired terrier was given the position of honor beside the royal casket. And in the funeral procession, he walked before nine kings and princes from all over the world. See, there's one story of a dog that has touched me deeply. Maybe because the incident occurred in a little town called Ripley, believe it or not, in Tennessee.
Well, what happened there, Bob?
2 years ago in this little town, an old hermit named John S. Hendricks died, and his only mourner was his little terrier, Spot. After Hendricks was buried by his neighbors, the little dog refused to eat or drink, and in a few days he completely disappeared. A neighbor suspected that Spot was looking for his master, and to his amazement, he found that the little terrier had dug a hole 6 feet deep in the cemetery and was lying dead on the coffin of the only person he ever loved, dead of a broken heart. And so the grave was covered a second time, and the two pals slumber on undisturbed. Only a dog could be as loyal and as faithful as that. These rare qualities in dogs were recognized thousands of years ago when the Egyptians named a star after a dog. And the brightest star in the heavens is called Sirius, or Dog Star, because it's so constant and faithful in the sky. And so you see, dogs have played an important part in man's history since civilization began, both in song as well as story.
In song too, Bob?
Well, Ozzy, for example, let me draw you a radio sketch showing how a song concerning a dog changed the history of an entire nation. In 1879, Bulgaria won her independence from Turkey. One of the first tasks of the new government was to find a king for the Bulgarian throne. Scores of noble applicants were interviewed by Archbishop Gregorius and the assembly, and finally, the choice came down to 12 men, among them Prince Alexander Battenberg of Germany. We find the Archbishop concluding an interview with Alexander.
Frankly, Prince Alexander, you have made the most favorable impression.
Thank you, Your Holiness.
But apart from your personality, what is it that you have to offer Bulgaria that the others have not?
My military training, Your Worship.
Oh, but the others, too, have had the finest of training, and in their veins runs blood as noble as your own.
Yes, that's true enough.
If only you had something different to offer, something that would place you apart from the others.
I have it, Your Holiness. The very thing.
Yes?
A national song. What? It's exactly what Bulgaria needs.
Why, perhaps you're right.
A new country, young, hopeful, ambitious. What is it that can better instill into their hearts pride and inspiration than a soul-stirring song?
And you have this song?
Why, yes.
A brilliant thought. Magnificent. Your Highness, I shall see the assembly at once. This idea, I promise you, will make you king. May I be the first to congratulate you.
Thank you. And I presume you will wish to hear the song?
Oh, we shall save that until after your coronation. Let the dedication of this song be among your first official acts.
Oh, well, then I have time to go to London and settle my affairs there.
Yes, Your Highness, but only for a few days. We shall need you, King Alexander.
If the Bulgarians could see you now, Alexander of Battenberg, their new king, idling his time away in a London music hall.
Well, I had to do something to ease my mind. Michael, my friend, I'm at my wit's end.
Oh, come now. What's the trouble, Alexander?
I promised them a national song, Michael. Told them I had it myself. And I've never written a note of music in my life. Day and night I've sat up trying to think of a tune, but it's utterly impossible. In a few days they'll call for it, and I have nothing to show them. Michael, you've got to help.
I can't even carry a tune, Eric.
This is no joke, Michael. I leave tonight. What am I going to do? What can I do? The Archbishop, the Assembly, the Papa.
Oh, I say, come along now, forget it. Enjoy yourself tonight, Alexander. You'll have plenty of time to worry.
Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Rosie MacDonald, the Caledonian thrush, will oblige with England's most popular song. Daddy wouldn't buy me a bow wow.
Oh, there's a marvelous song.
Daddy wouldn't buy me a bow wow. Daddy wouldn't buy me a bow wow. I've got a little cat, and I'm very fond of that. But I'd rather have a bow wow.
Daddy wouldn't buy me. Buy me a bow wow.
She's got you singing it too.
Why not?
Buy me a bow wow, bow wow. I have a little cat, and I'm very fond of that.
Oh, I say this is good. Alexander of Bulgaria singing Daddy Will Buy Me a Bow Wow.
Bergen, whistle it too. Oh, I say you all do it, don't you?
Hold on, Michael, I've got it.
What?
Come, let's get out of here.
But good Lord, man, where are you going?
To Bulgaria, Michael, to Bulgaria!
People of Bulgaria, on this historic day, our noble ruler, Alexander the First, brings to you the first national song of our new fatherland. In this creation of his own kingly mind, he has captured the indomitable spirit of our ancestors. This song will inspire our youth with pride and courage and lead our armies to eternal victory. People of Bulgaria, arise and listen.
King Alexander, congratulations. An inspiration. Bulgaria herself lives in every note.
Thank you, Your Holiness.
No nobler gift could you give your people than this song. All the world shall know it as the song of true Bulgaria.
Thank you.
And now, King Alexander, if I have your permission to leave.
Yes, Your Holiness.
Alexander.
Yes, Michael.
Why, this song is Daddy Wouldn't Buy Me a Bow Wow.
Michael, you must be mistaken.
But I'm sure.
Michael?
yes, I see.
Yes, Michael, of course.
And so you see, this national song of Bulgaria is nothing more or less than a tune Alexander heard in the London Music Hall, Daddy Wouldn't Buy Me a Bow Wow. Alexander wrote some stirring words and call the composition Our Prince, Our Leader. And to this tune, Bulgaria has won her greatest military victories. I've heard it played many times myself in Bulgaria. And whenever this music is played, millions of Bulgarians reverently bow their heads and stand at attention to this very day, believe it or not.
A lady friend of Mrs. Astor weighs 300 pounds. She'd love to borrow the Astor horse so she can follow the hound. She phones the stable daily, and every time she tries, the groom in charge, who loves the horse, very politely replies, Mrs. Astor's horse is a very cross horse. To die, me lady, I can't understand why he won't eat a bloomin' oat. Mrs. Astor's horse is a very horse horse today, me lady. Oh, there's tears in his eyes, and there must be a frog in his throat. I walk the floor with him all night. He has me in nerves a wreck. Now, Mrs. Astor may not think it right. I wrap me sock around her horse's neck. If you were a horse, you'd believe me when I say, me lady, Mrs. Astor's horse is a very cross horse today. Mrs. Astor's horse is a very cross horse today, me lady. He's quite indisposed and he can't be approached at all. Mrs. Astor's horse is a very bored horse today, me lady. He's turned up his nose at the goat that I put in his stall. I've tempted him with Brussels sprouts upon a silver pan, but he stuck his blooming tongue right out at me, so unbecoming to the Blue Blood clan. He may be himself in a day or two, but now, me lady, Mrs. Astor's horse is a very cross horse today. Cheerio.
A father is trying to read his paper, but his five-year-old son insists on talking about Christmas.
Daddy, don't you wish Christmas was tomorrow?
Oh, I don't know.
Please tell me, Daddy.
All right, Dickie. Now, you ask your question over again, and I'll answer it.
Daddy, don't you wish Christmas was tomorrow?
Let me think and see if I do. Yes, sure I do.
Why do you wish Christmas was tomorrow?
Well, Dickie, so we could all have plenty of fruitcake.
Fruitcake? Do you want fruitcake more than to see Santa Claus and get presents?
Yes, Dickie, it'd be very nice to have some fruitcake tomorrow.
Gee, you're funny. You want fruitcake more than to see Santa Claus and get presents.
Here's good news for Dickie's father and all other people like him. You can satisfy your hankering for fruitcake right away. Bakers will have delicious fruitcakes ready for you tomorrow and will feature fruitcake all during December as their cake of the month. You'll find these fruitcakes that bakers are now making have such a delicious, home-like taste. There's really no reason for baking your own. And the prices are so low, you can afford to serve fruitcake as often as you like. Most bakers follow the same famous recipe. It calls for 28 different ingredients, with plenty of butter, eggs, candied pineapple, citron, orange peel, cherries and almonds, and pecans. So don't wait until Christmas to enjoy this delicacy. Remember to buy a fruitcake this week.
Looking for a letter, darling, saying you'll come back to me once more. Looking every day till on his way the postman passes my door. Knowing that a letter mind goes straying keeps a little hope in store. Seeking some excuse, but what's the use? The postman passes my door. It can't be true, your love is dead to me. You know you said to me, darling, I'll write a line or two to say we're still in love. Would keep the thrill in love morning till night. So I'm looking for a letter, hoping, praying, as I've never done before. Trying not to cry and wondering why the postman passes my door.
Well, say, Ozzy, I'm sorry to interrupt, but you're wanted on the telephone. Very urgent. It's Hollywood, California.
Thanks, Ben. Why, that must be Harriet. Give me the phone, quick, please. Hello?
Hello, Ozzy. This is me.
Yeah, I know. What's happened?
Nothing, darling, except I heard you singing that song, and I thought I'd better call. Aren't you getting all those letters I write?
Oh, sure, sweetheart, and I write to you every day. This is just a song. You know, a phony, an act.
You're telling me you're a phony.
Oh, I see. Well, just wait till you get home, Puddin'Face.
Listen, darling.
Yeah?
Is it true that the boys are calling you Colonel Hilliard?
Not to my face. And listen, wise guy, take it easy on those romantic scenes. Don't forget, I have to sit through the picture when it comes out. And remember, sweetheart, every night before you go to bed, think of somebody back home waiting. Just waiting all alone. Waiting for a letter. Hoping, praying, as I've never done before. Worried now and then, and lonesome when the postman passes my door. Well, Bob, have you any more believe it or not about dogs?
Well, I certainly have. Would you believe there's such a thing as a mind-reading dog?
Come on now, Bob.
Yes, this dog can add and subtract and do card tricks and...
But there's a catch somewhere.
Well, that's what I thought, Ozzy, until he did this. The dog's trainer asked me to think of a number, any number from 1 to 10, and I did, and no one else in the world knew what number I was thinking of. Yet that dog, Bozo, barked the correct answer.
Bob, don't you think you're insulting the Nelson intelligence just a little? I'll believe that only when I see and hear it done myself.
Fair enough. Then suppose we have Bozo and his trainer step right up to the microphone. Ben, would you mind calling him in?
Okay, Bob, right away.
You mean you have Bozo here in the studio?
He'll be at the microphone in a moment. One of the prettiest little tan and white dogs you've ever seen. Bozo is half Scotch Collie and half Chow. He's perfectly natural and normal, except for his astounding mind, which has perplexed scientists throughout the country. But I suppose I better let the Bozo speak for himself. Here he is, the mind-reading dog, Bozo. And this is Bozo's trainer, Captain A.C. Lauer.
Hello, Captain.
Good evening, Mr. Nelson.
And this is the trick dog, eh?
Excuse me, Mr. Nelson. Bozo is not a trick dog. He is an educated dog, and the only dog in the world capable of mental telepathy.
Hmm.
All right, Bozo. Suppose you give Mr. Nelson the answer to 3 and 2, please. That's fine, Bozo. Kindly subtract 4 from 8.
Gosh, that's incredible.
Bozo, how much is 2 and 5, please?
Suppose I ask him a few questions. You're his trainer, you know.
Go right ahead, Mr. Nelson.
All right, Bozo. Now, can you tell me how much is 4 and 2? Gee, now, Bozo, subtract 3 from 7. There must be some stunt to this. How about it, Bob?
No. Suppose we let Captain Lauer blindfold Bozo. That's it, Captain. Now, Captain Lauer is putting a black hood over Bozo's head. And as you can see, his eyes are completely shut off from every vision. It's impossible for the captain to signal him or for him to see his master.
By the way, Mr. Nelson, that's a very good-looking pair of shoes you're wearing.
Oh, yes, there's nothing too good for my dogs either. I paid $15 for these shoes.
$15? Bozo, would you mind to tell us exactly how many dollars Mr. Nelson really gave for the shoes?
Well, maybe we'd better change the subject. What else can Bozo do?
He can do a number of things, Mr. Nelson. It's too bad we can't have Bozo do all of them here tonight. But take this one. I have an ordinary deck of playing cards. We're first going to shuffle them so Bozo doesn't know the position of the cards in the deck. Mr. Ripley, would you mind to hold the cards, please, sir?
Just a moment, Captain. I've invited 2 psychologists to the studio tonight. Dr. Joseph Tiffin, professor of psychology at the University of Iowa, and Dr. J.V. Mosey, lecturer in philosophy at Columbia University. Now, both of these scientists doubt Bozo's ability. So with your permission, I'm going to ask Dr. Tiffin to hold these cards.
Yes, I'll hold them, Mr. Ripley. What should I do with them now, Captain?
All I'd like for you to do, Professor, is to hold them in your hand. Mr. Nelson, would you ask Bozo for a card? Any number from 1 to 5, number and suit, please.
All right, I'll say the ace of spades.
Card. Would you count them off, see if he's right, sir?
You mean the 13th card down in the deck?
From the top
right
of the
one.
Deck, yes, sir.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
Now turn over the 13th card to see if it's really the ace of spades.
Well, there's the 13th card, and it's the ace of spades.
The ace of spades. Well, just a minute. Well, Captain, suppose I hold the deck.
All right, sir, here they are.
Now, Professor Tiffin, will you please select the card?
Well, I'll take the deuce of hearts.
The 2 of hearts. Well, how far is the 2 of hearts from the top of the deck I'm holding, Bozo?
All right, let's see. Eight from the top. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. And here's the eighth card. It's the two of hearts, all right.
And now, Katzenlauer, tell us any number we are thinking of.
Fine, Mr. Ripley.
Now, Dr. Mose, I'd like your help on this one.
What's my job, Mr. Ripley?
Just think of any number from 1 to 10. Don't tell us what it is, and don't write it down. Just think of this number and keep concentrating on it.
All right, Mr. Ripley. I'm thinking of a number right now.
Bozo, there's a gentleman on the stage concentrating on a number. Would you kindly tell us a number? Make it very distinct, please. Seven. Is that right, Doctor?
You can take my word for it. Seven was the number.
Yes, but even I might be able to bark the right answer once. Can he do it again for me?
Surely, Mr. Nelson.
All right, now everybody please keep quiet, even you, Captain Lawler. All right, Bozo, this is Ozzie Nelson thinking of a number, somewhere between 1 and 10. What number am I thinking of? You win, Bozo. I hate to admit it, but 5 was the number.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have just witnessed a performance by the most remarkable dog in the world. This dog, which is valued today at $100,000, is the same dog that Captain Lauer unsuccessfully tried to sell one time for only $2. Believe it or not.
Now Billy Trask sings Truckin' from the Cotton Club Parade.
They had to have something new, a dance to do up there in Harlem, so someone started truckin'. As soon as the news got round, folks downtown came up to Harlem, so everybody truckin'. It didn't take long before the hi-hats were doing it, Park Avenue and it all over town. You'd see them shuffling, scuffling, trucking along. It spread like a forest blaze, became a craze, and thanks to Harlem now, everybody's trucking.
Hey, Bob, how about giving us a believe it or not about Fred?
All right, then. You know, in China, it's considered a sin to waste as much as a crust of bread. The Chinese think of bread as something sacred. You see, it's a Chinese legend that bread is a gift from heaven,
well, Bob,
believe it or not.
Well, I think that shows the Chinese are a wise people. It's only lately that other peoples have begun to fully realize what a wonderful food bread is.
For instance, in Japan, the government is working to educate the Japanese people to eat more bread, so they will not have to depend so completely on rice.
And in our own country, we've been discovering some very surprising facts about bread. In one of the big universities in the Midwest, a group of scientists have proved that in anemia, bread should be eaten with iron-rich foods. You see, anemia is caused not only by a lack of iron-rich foods in the diet, it's also caused by the body not being able to absorb and use enough of the iron that we do eat. Now, these scientists have discovered that bread helps you utilize more of the iron in other foods for blood building. Besides, there's some iron in bread, and you get the full benefit of this iron. The iron in bread is 100% available for building blood. So if there's someone in your family who has an anemic tendency, who is pale and lacks pep, that person should not only eat iron-rich foods, such as liver, spinach, eggs, prunes, and raisins, but also should eat plenty of bread. Then more of the iron in the diet will be used for making blood. And of course, all of us should eat bread at every meal. Eat more toast and dishes made with toast. And enjoy more of those delicious desserts made with bread, such as French toast and Brown Betty. Since bread is the cheapest prepared food we have, you'll be saving money, as well as helping the way you feel and look.